Well, we've had some highs and some lows this morning, huh? Yeah. Thanks, Laura. Aaron didn't have to do that to me, to us, you know? Highs of Laura, the lows of apparently Chick-fil-A's open on Sundays. Anybody else pick up on that? What's this world coming to? We got to keep praying. Came up with that all by myself. So when I was little, I had this hat. Little child, I would wear this hat, and apparently this hat never really came off my head, and I wore it and wore it and wore it until it became threadbare. And you know, as a parent who has a kid who wears this embarrassingly ugly hat that's all torn up in public and around, you're like, when can I take this away from this kid? Well, apparently there was, my mom tells a story of one day where I was, and I won't go into details, but let's just say the hat got wet, fell off my head somewhere where there's water, should have been thrown away, but I refuse to let that happen. Any traditionalists out there, you know, you hold on to things. Mom washed it, I continued to wear it, and you know, as I was thinking about that story, at some point that hat disappeared. I'm mad. I'm gonna find my mom. She's in Florida right now, and I can't get to her, but we'll figure things out. But isn't it interesting how attached we get to things that don't fit us anymore? How attached we get. We hold on to those things. And in our passage this morning, in Ephesians 4, Paul is reminding the people of God that there is a new wardrobe that we're to be wearing. He's reminding the people of God that there's an old wardrobe that needs to be taken off and replaced with a new wardrobe, a new hat, if you will. So we're gonna read in Ephesians 4. If you'd open up like a delinquent, I didn't come up with the page number in the Pew Bible. So good luck. I think somebody next to you can help you. Here we are. Ephesians 4, verses 20 to 32. Paul says that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building others up and according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. Paul's using new language to talk about what it means to walk in the way of the resurrected Jesus. We just celebrated Easter, amen? We're on the other side of that. So there is new life that we're considering. In verse 22, I want to pull that out. Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So all these things that Paul was talking about, who is Paul writing to? The church. Wait, brawling? Were there any brawls in here this morning? I didn't see any. But he's talking to the church. Like all these things are happening in the church that Paul is addressing here in this letter. He's very concerned that there are old ways still going on, right? Why? Well, because there are old ways still going on. It's still happening, right? The old wardrobe still, you know, it's like getting pulled back out of the trash. Anybody? Right? Back out of the old hat gets pulled out of the, plop back on the head. And, right? And so Paul's addressing this. They're going into the trash and putting it out on those new garments, those new garments that God gives us in that new life, right? It's the old self again, isn't it? It's the old self Paul's coming back to. In the book of Romans chapter 6, Paul tells the church that the old man or the old woman has been crucified. Crucified. But in Ephesians, he says, you have put the old self away, right? You have to put the old self away. So crucified, the old self away. It's a little confusing there, but and you might say, well, what is it? Well, it's actually both, right? We're to reckon the old man dead. But the old man, if you've lived the Christian life long enough, you know that the old man or the old woman, they still raise up, right? When I talk to students about baptism, I use kind of that illustration of, you know, it's like we walk around in life and newness, and every once in a while I look around and like the old West is coming back to life. And I need to walk over there with Jesus and give him a good thump. And it's a weird illustration, but it works for me. It shocks people. Makes them think, right? But it's kind of what happens, right? And you wish it was just easy. I wish it was just easy to take off the old and put on the new, right? You know what we need more of these days? Mr. Rogers. Anybody? Mr. Rogers? Anybody grow up watching Mr. Rogers? Mr. Rogers rocks. He was a Christian. He taught us a lot how to live like Jesus. But Mr. Rogers, you know, he would come in, and I'd sing for you, but you don't want that. And he'd come in, and he'd take his jacket off while he's singing and grab his cardigan and kind of slip on in there and zip it up and zip. How'd he go? Zip, zip, zip. I don't know. And then he'd sit down, and he'd take his shoes off, his work shoes. And then he'd grab his keds and he'd toss those on and tie them as fast as lightning. He's amazing. I wish it was that easy. But the truth of the matter is, this whole process is more like this, right? So on the left, we think the journey looks like that. It's just going to be this slow grade of knocking off the sin, knocking off the wrong thinking that leads to the wrong actions and attitudes. And it's just going to be like this on the left. But it's actually the right, isn't it? The journey toward Christ likeness is actually this messy, squiggly, and I'm not even sure it goes up at that trajectory all the time. I think there's some, you know, there's some downs, there's some boop, and then there's some steep ups, and there's some more downs. But that was the best picture that I could find. You'd think I could draw something like that. Maybe I could have. But the journey, right, looks more like the thing on the right. But the good news is Jesus told us that in this world you will have trouble. That's not the good news. The rest of it is, though, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the nonsense that's going on out there. I've overcome it. And although we don't have eyes to see it literally, and we walk around like, whoop, and we hear stuff, right? We're going to talk about some of that. I've overcome the world. And that is good news, friends. Putting on the new self is possible. But hear this. It takes intentionality. It takes intentionality. I wish it was easy. I wish, just say a prayer, and I'm just going to be done with this. Right. I mean, sometimes it does work like that, praise God. But most of the time, I would say in my situation, in my life, it's that right-hand side there. There are a couple problems. When we don't normalize the right, we get disenfranchised, don't we? We get discouraged. We'll either live in shame, or we'll project strength that isn't really there. I think those are a couple problems that we run into, right? shame? How could I still be wrestling with this sin? How could I still be struggling with this after all this time, all these many weeks, months, years even? How in the world, right? And then we question. We question whether God loves us. How could God possibly love us? I mean, I don't even love me. How could it possibly be true that God loves me, right? That's what shame does. He says, you're unworthy. You're unworthy. You are unlovable. Anybody hear that on the regular? My hand's up. On the other side, the second problem is we project a sense of strength that isn't there, right? And this idea that we pretend to have it all together. But here's the thing. I don't believe you. Nobody believes you. It's not true. None of you have it together, even if you look like you do, right? And I know it's Sunday morning and, you know, it's like we gotta come in and we don't have time to like be blah, but that idea of authenticity across our life is super important, right? And so let's keep working at being honest and being authentic with one another and having those conversations. So I wanna illustrate this. I like this guy. It's going to take a couple of you that aren't great with spelling to realize what's going on. Somebody whisper, it's spelled wrong, right? Taking off the old self and putting on the new is, rather than clothes, is more like getting a tattoo removed or fixed in this regard, right? You see, we've been tattooed by sin. We've been shaped by sin. We've grown up with the enemy's lies that we don't even recognize yet. And we're in a process of coming to understand these lies and like, oh, that's a lie, right? We've had things passed down to us from generation to generation, right? Family sins, family ways of doing things, family ways of relating that are unhealthy and unhelpful. And they've passed along and they've been tattooed on us. We can't just whoop, throw them off. They've been tattooed on us. And so we don't relate in these healthy ways, things that have happened to us. And then there's stuff that we've done. We've marked people. We've tattooed people. And that has had an effect on us, right? And so we've got these sin tattoos, if you will, that won't just readily go away. They're hard to remove. Oh, from the FDA.gov website, laser tattoo removal is the most common method healthcare professionals use to remove or lighten tattoos that are no longer wanted. The laser light energy shatters the tattoo ink into small particles, which the body's immune system clears over time. The type of laser used to remove a tattoo depends on the tattoo's colors, because different colors of ink absorb different wavelengths of light. Multicolor tattoos may require the use of multiple lasers. Luke, you want to illustrate this or no? All right, he's good. Laser tattoo removal requires multiple treatments with a few weeks in between procedures to give skin time to heal. The length and number of treatments depends on several factors, including the size of the tattoo, the colors used. Complete removal of the tattoo can take many treatments. And I looked it up. The treatments can cost between $200 and $500 each. Ginny? Sorry, it's bad news, right? And in some cases, complete removal of the tattoo may not be possible. To say nothing of the pain and the inconvenience and the trap, whatever, right? So friends, we want a quick fix. I want a quick fix. I want it prayed away. I want the sin stuff that's kicking me around. Whoop, I want it gone. Man, wouldn't that be nice? And so again, sometimes, whoop, it goes. But oftentimes the slog to get rid of this, right? But here's good news. There's nothing that has been tattooed onto you that God can't remove. There's nothing that's been tattooed onto you that's greater than the power of God to remove it. There's nothing that has been done to you that God can't heal. It's going to take work, yes. There are no sin patterns and behaviors that come from them that the Holy Spirit can't retrain us away from in his love. Is that good news? Is that good news? Amen. Amen. Yes. God is love. God loves us. He wants to do this work. He wants to clean us. He wants to transform us. And this is the kind of stuff that Paul is working at. I'm going to do you a solid here. There we go. We're going to get rid of that guy. I'm going to look at 22 to 24. This is in the New Living Translation. Paul says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I underlined the bridge here, right? We've got, on one side, we've got the old self that we want to shake off. Then we've got the bridge of renewing our thoughts and our attitudes, and then we can get to putting on the new self. I want to think about this in maybe a different way this morning. There's a little bit of nuance when it comes to getting in the Word. And I was thinking about this, that, you know, Paul isn't just talking about consuming more information. If you're sitting there like, oh, that's right, yeah, I really just need to keep cranking it, keep getting, oh, I got off my Bible reading, I need to get those 7 chapters read by the end, or I'm not going to get my Bible reading plan done, and right, all those things are good. All those things are good. But it's not necessarily, what we're not talking about this morning is that, okay? Because we can know all sorts of Bible knowledge. We can know every story, every jot and tittle. We can know if you know this, then this makes more sense. And, oh, this happened here. And, like, all of that's great. It's great. But Jesus addresses some of this in Matthew 23:27. He calls the Pharisees, and I'm not calling you Pharisees, but he calls the Pharisees. This is what the Pharisees do, right? They know the word. Jesus calls them, you are like whitewashed tombs. I think Jesus wants these people to repent. He's speaking the truth to them. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. And so if Jesus is saying there's something more here than just reading and getting information, I think we want to pay attention to it. So what is he getting at? Well, Paul's getting at it too. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, this is the Message translation. It says, whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did. Remember that story? Face to face. Whenever, though, they turned to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil. And there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free from it. All of us. Nothing between us and God. And our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. I love that picture. Gives me hope. Gives me hope that that's what God is up to, right? It's like going from reading a book about someone, and then what? You get to sit down with them. You're like, oh, wait, I read that book about that Dan wrote, but then I met Dan. And we chatted about that. We chatted about stories and like, you know, I didn't know that about Dan. I read that book. I never would have thought that about Dan. And I read the book, right? There's something deeper that Paul is getting at this morning in this passage. Has that been your experience with God? See, Paul is saying that our minds are renewed by being face-to-face with Jesus, face-to-face with the Spirit. And it's a particular kind of slow, right? You can feel that intimacy there that's shared in the message. There's an intimacy, a face-to-face. The NIV uses the word contemplate, to think on, right? The Message paints it, as we read it, as God removing the veil and being face to face with God. And the New King James, I like this, the New King James uses the word behold. Behold. Hold up in front of, right? There we are. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord, as by the Spirit of the Lord. That bottom there is really our main point this morning, right? Whatever you behold, you become. Say it with me. Whatever you behold, you become. Whatever you behold, you become. And this, friends, is why we need to be careful. This is the warning. Because whatever you behold, you become. Whatever you fix your eyes on, you're going to become like that. Another childhood story. Used to watch WWF. This is also confession time. Nonsense, right? My brother and I used to watch WWF wrestling. It's fun. Guess what happened 9 times out of 10? Huh? I started wrestling, yeah. We're on the couch, we're jumping, getting the people's elbow, like Jimmy Superfly Snuka, breaking elbows, breaking ourselves. Oftentimes it kind of led into a little too much roughhousing and actual fights. Not really, my brother and I, but here and there, right? Why did that happen? Well, we were beholding them. I was beholding my brother. Not really, I couldn't pick him up. It's a funny thought though, right? All you moms, you're like, no, WWF, put your sister down. But I beheld those wrestlers. I wanted to be like them in that moment. I was overwhelmed by it. It was fun to think about. It was fun to jump off the couch when mom wasn't in the room. Sorry, mom. Don't watch this sermon. Whatever you behold, you... This is what Paul's getting at. The more you behold Jesus, the more you're going to become like Jesus. Dallas Willard used to say, grace is not opposed to effort. Beholding takes effort. It doesn't just come passively. Grace is not opposed to effort, it is opposed to earning. We're not talking about earning, but we are talking about some effort this morning. There's effort in this beholding. And somehow when you're sitting in silence and solitude and beholding Jesus, the Holy Spirit is working on your spirit. It's making you more like him. And what happens is then down the road, you know, maybe a couple moments later, maybe an hour later, maybe a day later, a week later, you're into it with somebody and they might say something. They might say something mean or something that fires you up. And instead of firing back, you find yourself responding with kindness, with grace, where once you would have been just let them have it, put them in their place, beat them down, or I'm out of here, like I'm running from this person, right? All of a sudden we can do some of the things that we couldn't do because the Lord works in us, right? That's what happens when we behold, when we're with Jesus. And so whatever you behold, you become. So Paul's saying, behold Jesus. It'll transform you by the renewing of your mind. It's a quick plug for the Gospels. Gospels are filled with interactions with Jesus, right? Specific, you can't like miss it. Interactions with Jesus. Just want to encourage you to, when you're beholding, spend some time in those Gospels, reading those stories, paying attention to what Jesus did, how he did it, how he interacted, with whom he interacted with. It's important because as we're with him, we become like him, right? So the question we want to ask is, what have you been beholding? What have you been fixing your eyes on? I was talking to someone recently, and they mentioned that their spouse has been kind of anxious. And I asked them, well, what's going on? What do you think? Well, I got the news on all day. Oh. They had put two and two together. My spouse watches news all day. Going nuts. They're all fired up. They're all worried. The earth is ending. It's all going down, right? It wasn't that bad, I don't think, right? But what happens when we behold the news and the craziness of our country? What happens when we behold that, right? I don't know if anybody knew, but the elections, that stuff's like starting already. It's coming. All that nonsense. Wars, rumors of wars. Earthquakes in Jersey. Taxes. Legislation. Ah! We listen to those lying partisan drama on TV, online, in person, right? For hours at a time, we run it through our mind. We behold it. We behold it. And we become like it. We become like it. It characterizes our life. Transforms us. When we behold the idolatry of power and manipulation, that's what they're doing. They're just trying to fire you up. Just trying to, you know how it works. And I'm not saying that there isn't a place for Christians to be involved in politics. But you must be careful to not behold what the world beholds, because you'll function in the same way they do. And it doesn't work. It does not work. What have you been beholding? Social media. The drama. Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, you get caught up in it, right? Jealousy, envy, gossip, posturing, all those things, right? If you behold those things, you're going to become jealous and envious, and you're going to be gossiping. I promise you. I hear it. I hear it. I'm drawn to it. Like, yeah, I got to get away, right? We got to turn it off. Got to get back to beholding Jesus. It's not that these things don't have a place, but if we're beholding them, that's the sin issue. That's the idolatry issue. Okay? They have their place. Hear that. Can you hear that? We don't want to suffer the same fate. We're a different sort of people, friends. We've been called to a different sort of way. Life in the kingdom is different. Politics in the kingdom is different. Jesus brought a completely different politic. Makes a mess sometimes. Gets us in trouble. Makes us look wishy-washy. So be it. So be it. Paul is saying you've been created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So put off the old self. And get on with the process of removing those sin tattoos. Get on with it. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while to renew our minds, to get away from the things that have been riling us up and shaping us and forming us in unhealthy, sinful, idolatrous ways. That's going to take time to get that sin tattoo off. It's going to take time to deal with the effects of sin that's happened to us. It takes time and it takes work. Paul says, put on the new self. And he goes into specific detail about what things that the church should take off and put on, what the church should stop doing, what they should do. We're going to kind of move through here a little quickly. But therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. The church here in Ephesus is lying. How many of you, when you came in the door, I'm just going to give you a hard time, right? Hey, good morning, how are you? Great, super duper. No, you're not. Now, maybe you are. But some of you said that, and that's not true, right? And I know, Sunday morning in the foyer when with all the noise and all, but it isn't a time to sit down. But sit down with somebody. Sit down with a brother. Sit down with a sister and talk about that. Pray with them. Get some counsel. Get some counseling. If that is not characteristic of life, right? There's some work to do. Let's not project that we're better than we are, right? Let's not pretend like we're okay with someone if we're not. That's what Paul's getting at. There's tension here that he's picking up on, that he's heard about. Speak the truth in love to one another. Respect, right? And this is important. Don't hear, Wes said just go out there and speak the truth. So, hey, sorry, I'm just doing that, right? No. You don't have permission to do that. In love, right? Respectfully, honoring that person. Clear, timely. Oftentimes it's timely. It's how we say things, how we hold our views. Sit down with people. Don't scream across the void. And then Paul says, be angry and do not sin. Huh? How do you do that? Be angry and do not sin. Right? He's talking about this community, and the reality is the old self, we get angry at stuff. Is that okay? Yeah. There's stuff that should make us angry. There's injustice that happens to us and to other people that should make us angry. Right? So the issue isn't don't be angry, because that's impossible. God himself got angry. Jesus got angry, right? But in your anger, do not sin. Do not sin. Sometimes we don't even give ourselves permission to be angry. Like I kind of suppress that. I just pretend like, oh, that didn't hurt. No, it's all right. I'll just forgive. But really, I'm suppressing it. And I need to not like unleash it on somebody, but I need to like give myself permission. Like, it's okay to be upset about that. It's okay to think this way. It's okay. It lines up with Scripture. Be angry and do not sin, right? And where that can kind of show up is that suppressing is, you know, it's like, you know, somebody steps on your toe, but then you react like they just punched your grandmother, right? Shocked. Oh. Right? And you're like, whoa, where did that come from? I'm really sorry. I don't know what happened. Well, what have you been beholding? What's been riling you up all throughout here? And then all of a sudden somebody steps on your toe and you just unleashed fury, rage on this person. What? Punishment doesn't fit the crime. Something else is going on, right? Paul says, get to that. What is that? Behold Jesus. He'll help you figure it out. Get with people that'll help you get to some of that stuff, right? That's what we need, a process, that messy process. It's a beautiful, messy process. Then Paul says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth or out of your texts. Or out of your emails, or out of your social media account. Friends, the way we speak to one another needs to be transformed. The way we speak to people outside these walls needs to be transformed. They can't hear us. They won't hear us. There's a new way. There's a different way Jesus invites us to. So as you think about last week, where is God's Spirit inviting you to put off the former self and to put on the new self? Where have you been angry this week? Where have you crossed the line? Who do you need to ask forgiveness from? Have you, any of you been stealing? Paul's words, not mine. Money, time, stuff. This is the language of greed. Not giving to God what's due him. Give it back. Repay. He addresses grieving the Holy Spirit of God, right? All the old stuff, all those old actions come from the old thinking and the action. All of that grieves God. When I say grieve, I think it's like a mom and dad. Like, yeah, when you get over the, it's like, but really, what's your heart? Your heart is broken for your kid because you don't want them living like that. You want them free. I think that's the grief that God feels is like, there's something more. There's something better. Wes, there's something better. This is garbage. This is the old stuff. Come back. Confess your sin. Let's get you cleaned up. Let's get you back out there. Paul says, do you have bitterness, rage, anger in your heart? Are you brawling with people, maybe physically, maybe verbally? Are you going around slandering and smearing and insulting people? Find a counselor. Something's wrong. Find a spiritual director. Get to the heart of these issues that are going. Something's wrong. That's the old man. That's the old woman. There's a new self that the Spirit wants to empower you with, right? That's the good news. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do things that we couldn't previously do. Amen? Does anybody want that? Man, I don't want this other, but we have to talk about it. I don't want to be kicked around by my sin. I want to invite the worship team to come on up right now. And we're gonna take a couple minutes to behold Jesus. I want you to put your Bible down, put your papers down, put your pen down. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to take a deep breath. And exhale. Take a breath. And exhale. Friends, Jesus is inviting you to turn your gaze on him. He's been with us this morning. He's teaching us, convicting us, calling us to himself. He's as close to you as your breath. And I ask, can you picture him there with you, sitting there with you in front of you? He's looking at you compassionately. He's looking at you with a loving gaze. He's happy to be with you this morning. Jesus, what are you inviting us to put off this morning? What clothes do we need to take off? What clothes do we need to put on? Anger? Fear? What do you want to renew in our minds? What do I need to put down? What are you asking us to put on? Your righteousness and holiness. We might walk in newness of life with confidence and intimacy with you, with other people. Grateful to be with you, Jesus. We want to be like you. So would you help us to put off the old shameful self? Would you help us to do what we need to do in order to get these sin tattoos removed from us?
Would you renew our minds and draw us to yourself in love this week? Renew us. Invite us to behold you. Help us to slow down. Carve out that time. Want that kind of life, Lord. We confess this morning that we've often put on our old self. Go back to bad habits and behaviors that we're ashamed of, things that are inconsistent with how you've created us to be. But today, Lord, may our eyes be fixed on you. Will you forgive us? Will you pour out your grace on us here at Grace Bible Church? So that we can behold and become like you. God, we want to willingly put on this new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. We want to behold your glory, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who is our Savior, who loves us. And everyone said, amen.